All right, it is potentially a historic day here in the city of Toronto because the Blue Jays have not been in the playoffs for 4 years. And with a win tonight, they will punch their ticket. All they do is play in blowout games. They either blow out the opposition or get blown up themselves. And what are the chances? What's the Jerry's on a close game tonight? A one-run game tonight?
Yeah. Zero.
They're either going to win 14-1 or get smoked 14-1. Like, that's
I've never
it.
Seen anything like this
I've
before,
never seen
it. Game is a blowout.
That game, I had my eye on it, and I don't know what happened. Like, it was, I want to say it was like 3-1 or 4-1 or something, and I'm like, I better check back in this game. It was like 10-1.
They put up 8 in the 6th inning. The Blue Jays had an 8-run inning, and obviously it was curtains after that. See you later. Yeah. Aaron Boone was like, can we get out of here? Get us out of Buffalo. But pretty wild. I mean, they've blown up the Yankees twice. Gerrit Cole got them a couple nights ago, but, you know, pretty decent redemption job for the Blue Jays considering what happened in the Bronx a week ago. And a chance to punch a ticket tonight with Rio on the mound.
Absolutely.
As far as entertainment, I mean, win or lose, you would like to see something relatively to keep you interested in the game. Like, the blowouts are just like, okay.
It's terrible.
Yeah,
there's no theater to it.
No,
it's terrible.
This is off. I got to flip to something else because it's just you want to – I love sitting and watching a baseball game. I don't know how because when I was a kid, I used to tell my dad, please get this off. And now I'm an old man. I love watching it. But when it's like that, you just turn it off.
Yeah.
Well, win or lose.
You're right, and I think the Grappler had it best the other day when I was like, are you watching? There's like the janitor is pitching, and he's like, no, I turned it off in the third. It was out of my rotation because there was so much sports on. When there's so much sports and it's a blowout, either way, you're like, I can't watch that because I've got to find
game.
A game that's closer. Right?
And there were a couple last night, the NBA game. The hockey game wasn't necessarily close, but it was close enough.
To it. Yeah.
It was close enough. Right? Like when it got to, was it 5-2, I think Dallas scored with about 13 minutes to go. And you're like, okay, they're, you know, maybe. They pot another one here quick, and all of a sudden it gets a little bit dicey. But that was, you know, you talk about entertainment value. It was supplied last night early in the game, the fact that Stamkos played and he takes the warm-up, no helmet. He's got the hair flowing.
Oh, yeah.
The
was
beard
that like
rocking.
His Kirk Gibson moment where he just was like, I wanted to get into a game and then I knew it wasn't going to last and he got his goal and that's it? Or did he actually re-injure himself? I mean,
I don't know. I kept
I don't
thinking
know
to
what to take away from that. It was just like, as soon as he scored that goal, he was done, was he not? Did he take a shift after that?
I think he took another one or two, but he didn't come out for the second, as we know, and he was on the bench, but he didn't play again.
That walk up through the alleyway at the beginning of the second, he didn't start the period on the bench. It was like, that's not a guy that can play. But I wonder if that was his intention, like to just get in there and play. I don't know. It just because I can't see the guy playing again.
No, and that's where I was going to go. You know what it reeked of, and I can't draw too close of a parallel, but like Durant. It's like, I'll give this a run and see what happens and play until it pops or play it till and the minute, like, we all know what happened with Durant and that. But, like, Stamkos looked to me like he looked good. I mean, that goal was fantastic.
Beautiful
speed
goal.
Through the neutral zone and gets by Lindell under the bar. I can't wait to find out what it is. Like, all I keep thinking about is it's that ab muscle, like where you can't skate, you know, properly. I think guys have had that mesh surgery in the ab area, groin area. I don't know what it is. I'm not a doctor. I'm not going to guess, but I don't think he's playing again. I think last night was like, hey, I'm going to try it. And if I'm going to be able to play.
I gave you a goal, boys, but now I'm
done.
I think I might be done. And I think the Durant parallel is an accurate one. It feels very similar, although Golden State was up against the wall without Durant, right? They were down. He came back for game 5. They were down 3-1 in that series. And they were like, we need you here. It was 1-1, and Stamkos came back. A little bit of a different context. But I think probably a similar scenario where didn't feel like it was 100%. Felt like there might have been some pressure from the guys. Like, hey, we could use you here. You know, whenever you're ready, we're watching you skate. We're watching you warm up, you know. Check in when you can. But I think the Kirk Gibson one might even be better in terms of history. Like Kirk Gibson, you know, World Series, comes off the bench, MVP season, Lasorda puts him out there, he hits a home run at home. Now, that was in L.A. with crowds. Could you imagine if that was in Tampa last night? If Stamkos scored in front of 20,000 people with the build-up and the layoff, it would have just been a phenomenal reaction.
They would have littered the ice. It would have been outstanding.
A phenomenal reaction. But, you know, I was watching him last night, and I was taking into account, you know, what he did and how he scored that goal and then how he didn't play again in the second and third. And I think last night just amplified two truths of his career. He has Hall of Fame talent, and he offers up Hall of Fame entertainment. He is one of the most fun players to watch in a game. He is thoroughly entertaining. That is one, and it was on his play last night. The other one is he's injury prone, and I think he's officially in the Lindros and Bobby Orr category now. Like, what could have been if he didn't have so many injury problems throughout his career? Because they were both amplified last night. He scores an unbelievable goal. Like, to beat a guy wide when you haven't played in over 200 days like that, and right. then snap one the way he did, there's like 2 or 3% of players in the league can score that goal. Like, yeah. that's how good he is to walk onto that ice without any buildup, no exhibition games, 200-plus days off, and to score like that is Hall of Fame talent. It's first overall talent, is Team Canada talent, which is what he has and what he's done throughout his career. But then for him not to play again is also consistent, sadly, reluctantly, with his career as well.
Yeah,
like, he's just
only
always
one,
injured.
There's only one Ovi, Brian, but if this guy's 100% healthy and kind of durable like Ovi, could he be sniffing around on a run like that? I'm not saying he'd have as many goals as Ovi or be challenging that, but he'd be something like that, wouldn't he?
I think 600 in his career would be realistic.
Oh, yeah,
he walked
sure,
into the league at 18.
Sure.
You know, he's going to have a 20-year career. And, you know, I don't know what his numbers are career-wise. I'll bet you they're really high anyway because he scored so much and he's been so good.
Like, but, him healthy is just an automatic 30, and then whatever on top of that is a
right.
bonus.
Minimal.
And the sad part about it is he had such great chemistry with Marty St. Louis. And, you know, if they would have stayed together a little bit longer, like St. Louis was like Backstrom to Ovi, right?
Kucherov's like not much of a fall off, though, Noodles.
You're right. Like, Kucherov is well, he's brilliant as well.
Right.
It's just when I look at Steven Stamkos, you know, he's got that one timer in that one spot. He's such a unique player. But you're right. I think he's fallen into that. What are you going to get from him? Like, if you had to do a Jerry's, like, do you think ever in his career again he will play 82 games in a season?
Not really. Mine wouldn't be very high.
Yeah.
He may have a healthy season and play 76 or whatever, but like...
Like last year, I believe he played every game or close to it. Like, he was not injury prone a year ago. But he's had a run over the past, you know, 6 or 7 years where every second year or so he runs into something very drastic. And he's missed massive moments, you know. That really put him in that category of what could have been if he was at the Olympics in 2014, if the Olympics were available to him in 18, when he's had injury problems down the stretch, and this year in particular, because his numbers, they're always, when he is healthy, off the charts, right? Like, he's a top 20 player in the league when he's healthy.
Yeah.
But last night, you know, I just couldn't get past both storylines kind of just being driven home. Like, his talent is just remarkable, and he's such a good player, such an easy guy to like too, the way he plays, and yet then he can't play a shift in the second or third, and we might not see him again.
That's the toughest part for me, is him sitting there on the bench. And I know it's nice, and you know, you've seen other players that have been leaders that have been injured that have sat there before, you know, especially
Chara did that last year in St. Louis when he broke his jaw. He came out there with the full face shield and he just sat there to cheer on the boys.
Yeah,
and that's admirable and everything. I'm sure everybody loves that, but it sucks not to see the player out on the ice.
I agree, but you know, I just don't think we'll see him dressed again. Like last night was almost like, hey, I'm going to give it a run, and something either tweaked or popped or didn't feel right, and he said it to the trainer, and then he didn't come out till like 12:36 mark of the second period. So I don't know if he's getting worked on in there or trying to loosen things up. Like, if Gary Roberts could be in the bubble, I guarantee you he would have had Gary Roberts in there, you know, working with him, reading
MRIs.
Anything. Gary can do it all. You know, I
support
all
of that. That's when you know it's bad for the guy, because it's not like he grinded out just a gutsy two periods with multiple hits and grinding shifts. He played 3 minutes.
Yeah, played a handful of shifts and –
scored a goal, played 3 minutes, and then he's like, this just can't work. Can't happen.
And listen, there have been examples of guys, someone tweeting in right now saying we thought the same of Crosby 5 years ago when he was dealing with the concussion problems and the injury problems, that he wouldn't get it back on track. You know, Stamkos is only 30. But when you look over the last, 6 years of his career, basically every other year there's a big injury that kind of knocks him out and takes him out of contention for major awards and putting up massive numbers. But let's hope it doesn't carry over. Let's hope it's not something that, becomes extreme and you really can't rely on the guy playing. But it was a remarkable story last night. And it was a big win for Tampa. I mean, now you got a back-to-back, too, which is just goofy for a cup final. Like, I know they want to get out of the bubble, but this is stupid. Like, why would you put a team – like, if you're Dallas, you want to go home, but you're in the cup final. You got a chance to win a cup. Like, you're telling me you can't go Friday, Sunday? Like, I guess they want to avoid the NFL. I get it, and that's NBC, I'm sure, saying that. But you talk about the integrity of the cup, and that's what Bettman kept saying from day one of COVID and the shutdown. We're never going to put it into jeopardy. We're always going to make sure it feels right.
Right.
A back-to-back in a cup final doesn't feel right. No, it doesn't. It's silly.
You're right.
Unless you win them both.
You're right. Unless you win them both. And I said this yesterday, and Brian, I think you agreed with me. The league just wants to get this done.
Of course. Like
they're trying to
one
just
more
get
day,
out of
Noodles.
It. No,
one more
right.
day. I'm not
you're
saying
right.
take a week off in between games three and game four.
No,
you
just
know,
space
one
it
more
out.
Day. Yeah.
They could have done. We've seen it before where they played Saturday, Monday, Wednesday, Saturday, where you had a couple. They probably could have had a couple days off and did the Saturday, Monday, Wednesday.
Right.
And there you avoid NFL altogether.
Well, the Monday
nighter
Monday, is
sorry.
A monster.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that
I
is an
Monday.
Issue. It's Baltimore, Kansas City.
They probably
City.
Looked at that, too. You're right. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
You know?
But, listen, we'll see. It puts Dallas, I think, in a much worse position than Tampa. Because Tampa's got the lead. I think Tampa feels probably good about Vasilevsky going both games, I would think.
Yeah.
But Dallas, what do you do now? Do you ride Hudobin for both, or do you give Benny Bishop a shot at redemption?
No. It's Hudobin. He's playing. And, to me, I don't even think Bishop is – they still list him as unfit to play. So I don't think he's rolling in there. I think it's you're rolling Hudobin back-to-back, and you hope that he gets on a heater in a 24-hour – span, because it's come off a little bit, the luster. Like he was brilliant to get there, and you can't blame the goals on him at all, but I think what happened is in the previous series he would make one or two like ridiculous saves where you're like, okay, that just saved his team. Right now Tampa just has a formula and they're finding a way to get the back of the net, and that's getting him moving, getting traffic in front. I mean, Tampa's the better team. The better team is winning right now. That's what I believe. But
that's all I could think last night watching Hudobin. It's like, and Jamie, you said this numerous times, he has been fantastic, but there's a reason that he's been what he has been his whole career, is because when you want to stretch this out for a long duration, that's not in his DNA. So I looked at him last night, and I'm like, man, maybe the clock strikes midnight on this guy, and he just starts not being a superstar anymore. His limit and his time, he's running out of time. And that's bad news for Dallas. Because like you said, Bishop, somebody talked about throwing Bishop in Friday and letting Hudobin play. Bishop, who the hell, I can't even get started on this guy. Nobody knows what's wrong with him.
But I think he can play now. I don't think he's still injured as far as I know. Right, he's prepared to play.
Well, why wouldn't he even be? He's not. I don't even think he's practicing, Brian.
He's not on the bench. He came in last night. Like, he's not on the bench. Like, to me, if he is fit to play, he's backing up, because of a scenario like that. If you pulled Hudobin at three, and Dallas has been a resilient team, and Bishop comes in and slams the door, like, that's what you want to have, is that 1-1A punch on the bench. Like, no offense to Jake Oettinger, this is Ben Bishop. You're paying this guy $5 million a year to be your goalie.
Seven.
He's up for the Vezina, or he has been.
Yeah,
I guess you're right. I mean, if that's the case, if Bishop is clearly just not available and not going to be, or they've told him we're not interested because, for whatever purpose or reason, then I guess you got to go with Hudobin. You can't go with Oettinger in a cup final when you're down 2-1 and potentially 3-1 going into game five. So we'll catch up with Ryan Rashog. Rashog was in the building last night. Get you an update on the bubble and, the bells and whistles of the cup final, how much more media is out there. Does it feel like a cup final? What it was like with Stamkos last night? So we'll get into it more with Rashard. That's coming up in about 10 minutes. Pooley's on the show as well. Frank Saravelli's unveiled his trade bait board. So we got a free agent frenzy board. We got a trade bait board. And I think it's a worthy discussion. You know, which avenue do you think is more potentially exciting? You know, and which one's going to offer up more action? You know, there's going to be signings, but I think there could be a lot of trades. There already have been.
That's
if we're talking big names.
To. I love the trade bait board.
Yeah.
Well, and I love it. To see the possible transactions that can happen. Because you've mentioned it yesterday, Brian. A lot of teams, or one of you two mentioned it, they either got to shed money, they got to add money, they want to take advantage of certain things. I think there's – they tell us every year, Dregs, Bobby, and Pierre, there's going to be a ton of action this year. Ton of action. We have never had it. It's just always fizzles out and we get the odd thing. But it's – I think it's got to happen this year.
I think it's going to happen, and I actually love the term a hockey trade. Player for player.
That's one
who
of the
created
dumbest,
that?
I don't know.
When did
Remember,
that like when did any trade not be a considered
well,
a hockey trade?
Because you know it's like you're trading cap money and you're trading, you know, it's a dead drop. Like you're not the Leafs traded for David Clarkson back when he was injured. Like that's not a hockey trade. That's you're
hockey
picking up
trade is right up there with own rental.
Yes, own rental. But hockey trade is like, whether you like it or not, PK Subban for Shea Weber, that's a hockey trade. That's two top players, you know, changing organizations.
Adam, so
what about
when PK
went to
Jersey?
Who came up with it? Like, who came up with it? Of course it's a hockey trade.
But that's the whole thing. It doesn't matter what you're trading.
It's a hockey team trading with another hockey team.
Okay,
Let's call it a basketball trade. Like
okay,
just,
so
if it's a bad trade, it's a basketball
trade. Yeah, that was a football trade, actually. We don't regret that because it wasn't a hockey trade.
Okay,
so you can't hold
me
to that one.
When you
That's
announce
what
on this show,
been using back in the day,
Fergie was playing lawn bowling trades.
You announce on this show next week that the Leafs have traded for Johan Franzen's contract, please call it a hockey trade.
No, I'm just going to say it was a trade.
Yeah.
No, it was a transaction.
I'm
Why do
saying,
I need to add
it's a transaction
to it?
For dead money. Johan Franzen won't play, and I don't even know if he's got term left. I'm just making a contract up.
Well, those are going to happen. I'll bet you
right,
at least one or two
happen.
Of those are coming
for
to
sure.
Toronto. You know it. It just doesn't feel right in Toronto if they're not paying some guy to never play for them. And that's Horton's off the books now. I think Clarkson's off the books.
Yeah.
Crazy
Bill's
thing
left.
About the Clarkson one is that was their own signing.
Yeah,
they signed it. And then they're like, yeah, we'll take it back. Ooh, that's brutal. Who signed this deal? Oh, yeah, we did. That was a hockey signing. Actually, that one was a football signing or
that
basketball.
One, you guys, if we went back to and we should try and pull the sound from that day. Were we on Leafs Lunch that year?
I'm sure we were, yeah.
We should pull the sound because I remember the front cover of like one paper, like Wendell Gretzky or
Wendell
whatever.
Clarkson was
Wendell
what it
Clarkson.
Yeah,
it's
going
like,
to be the next Wendell.
Believe me, the people were fired up that David Clarkson chose to sign here in Toronto.
Yep, they were.
They were.
There were a lot of people excited. I mean, he was a
and he's a great
heart and soul
guy.
Kind
really
of guy.
Is. He is a good guy.
We don't have anything against him. I mean,
it just didn't work out.
It didn't work out, and he doesn't have to give that money back, and he doesn't have to explain it to anybody. You know, they offered it to him. It never got rolling. It never worked for him here. It just didn't.
Yeah.
But it is kind of goofy that they took the deal back as dead money when it was their own money to begin with.
Yeah. Nobody brings that up, really.
Because it wasn't a hockey trade. That's why we don't bring it up.
There it is.
Ryan Rashard from Edmonton later in the hour.
Hockey interview
coming up. A hockey interview. We got a basketball interview. Nick Nurse coming up. Moneybags at 5:30.
I just want to ask him, like, how easy was that transaction? Like, did they just plop something in front of him and he just said, okay? Or it couldn't have been that sophisticated of a transaction. It was just, this is what I've done. Like, pay up. I don't know.
I would think he had some leverage. I would think the Raptors were more than willing to sign him and pay him and be happy with that.
Would it be fair for me to ask him, like, did you know that Jason Tatum was throwing to you in the corner?
I think we should ask him about that.
Like, because honestly, if you go back and watched it, I watched it on PBR a couple times. Like, I almost got the sense that he was like, whoa, I'm close here. Like, nothing to see here. He kind of, like, marched back to his bench area. Like, I don't want to draw attention to me here, but I may have been close.
Well,
you know?
Remember, someone brought this to my attention. Remember Mike Tomlin years ago on a kickoff when he was on the field and he was looking up at the board and the kick returner was coming right down.
He tripped the guy.
He basically tripped the guy. And then he gave it the, oops, you know, not my fault. Yeah. I was looking
that
this
way. That was the King Daddy topper of player involvement. Just flat out stuck out his leg on the sideline and tripped the guy.
Yeah. Yeah. And then that claimed that he wasn't actually watching the play, which he was quite literally watching
the play.
He was
watching the guy on the Jumbotron run towards
him. At him, like come right down that sideline. And Tomlin was a foot or two onto the field.
Yeah.
So, you know, Nick Nurse was basically doing the same. Yeah, we'll get into that with Nick for sure at 5:30.
Okay.
And Jabari Greer coming up on week three of the NFL. Miami taking on Jacksonville. This would be a lot more fun tonight if Tua was playing. But
why don't they play him? Like, what are they? What's there to lose now?
I would guess it's still injury related. You know, he's always been injured. He's coming off a bad hip surgery and hip injury a year ago. I would think they would prefer just to let him sit for a full year. And they're not going to force him. And Ryan Fitzpatrick can still play and get the job done. So he's behind center tonight. So we'll get to that later this afternoon as well. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, so the Jays can clinch a playoff spot tonight, and it sounds like they're getting some pretty good news injury-wise.
Yeah.
Scotty Mitchell tweeting out that Nate Pearson has been activated off the IL, and Montoya hoping to get him a couple of innings over the final four games, maybe an inning tonight, maybe one over the weekend. And he's going to be out of the bullpen, so it'll be a change for him. He's never done that before. He's always been a starter. So warming up mid-game, maybe coming in with runners on base, although I think they'll try to avoid that as much as possible. But it'll be an adjustment for him. He's a young guy, but he can throw smoke, right? He's got the stuff. And to bring him in for an inning or two, that could be massive for the Blue Jays.
Oh, yeah.
They need it. That bullpen's been taking a beating. So
well,
there you go. Something to watch tonight.
It's better than Randy Johnson right now, so they need him.
Yeah.
According to the grappler,
that's right. It's actually shocking that he's not going to start tonight for Ryu because he's better than Randy Johnson in his prime. But
that's still one of the all-time like most egregious takes.
Just an
like,
outrageously obnoxious
Blue
Jay take.
You talk about the grappler like that. He's doing a massive favor for me. He's coming over tomorrow to feed my cat for me.
Why?
Don't worry about it.
That's so annoying, dude. I'm annoyed for the grappler.
Help with driving.
We have a guest on the line. We'll get into it later.
Yeah. I'll bet you he's annoyed. He probably hung up. The idea that you're reaching out to people to feed your cat. I thought cats, you could just put food out for like a week and it's all good.
You can.
Dude, honestly, mind your own business and don't talk about the cat like that.
Well, don't bring the cat up then.
I didn't think you were a jerk like that. The cat needs attention. He needs to be fed, and the grappler offered to do it. He used to have cats.
He used to have cats. Oh, so you trust him with the cat?
He told me today I had to send him a video what to do when he walks in my condo, where the food was and stuff, and I sent it to him, and he said, no problem. I've had cats my whole life.
Okay. Well, there you go. Carol Baskin's grappler. I did not know that. All right. Here's Ryan Rashog. He's out in Edmonton. Well, that's his hometown, but he's in the bubble or in and out of the bubble. He was at the game last night, and he joins us here on Overdrive. How you doing, Ryan?
No, I actually, true story, guys, on my way home from the rink last night, I actually almost ran over a cat on the highway.
Uh-oh. Don't tell that.
Thing just hopped right in front of me. I had to take evasive maneuvers. Nearly got sideswiped as a result. Super sketchy scenario, but the cat and I came out of it okay. So everybody was good. But it was a close call.
The only thing I want to know is, did you stop and try to help find the cat back to his home?
Yeah. No, not so much. middle of the highway. It's a four-laner. I thought, you know what? I'm sure it'll be fine. He's back to his farm, running around real happy on his farm today.
Try not to do that on the 401. If you ever see a cat on the 401, don't stop. Throw your four-ways on and chase the cat around, try to get it back to its owner. Do us all a favor in Toronto. And I think that applies to every highway throughout the country. Yeah. So what was it like? I mean, we're all trying to gain the experience, I guess, through your eyes and through your experiences because you're in the building and there's so few people actually in the building and no fans. Yeah. It's such a weird kind of environment. But there must have been some buzz, you know, I guess bubble buzz, COVID buzz, the fact that Stamkos was out there for warm-up and then the anticipation that he'd likely end up playing, which he did last night.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, guys. Like, I've covered Stanley Cup Finals, lots of them before, and it's strange. Like, you walk around the streets, and you at least have this sense that it's happening. right? Like in whatever town you're in, and some more so than others. But it's like we walk around town here, and it's just other than some fences being up and in the way, it just kind of is happening. So then you get into the rink, and there's a little bit more there. I mean, you're standing around with other media people, you're all wearing masks and drinking coffee and talking. But it's about as much buzz as we can all generate amongst ourselves, which isn't much. It's like, it'll be, see what Stamkos can do tonight. The real buzz came from the reaction in a silent building of his teammates when he scored that goal. Like, their bench just wailed. I mean, they were loud, and they were jumping up and down, and it was as loud a cheer as I've heard from a bench during these playoffs. That was really a cool moment, and then to see the video reaction of the way they all reacted. So, honestly, it's bizarre, you guys. It's tough to get used to. It's not even in the hemisphere of feeling normal. It's bizarre. And last night was the same thing.
Ryan, we were talking about Stamkos. Does that seem like it's it for him? Like he just said to the fellas, I'm going to give it a shot here. He got the goal. We never saw the guy again. Jamie said it earlier. I can't see the guy coming back and putting his equipment on again. Was that just his moment in the final to try to help the group and he just couldn't do it?
So he told us after the game, and it was interesting that he did media. So he got out there and talked, which you know, he kind of hasn't done yet. And that gave me the sense of, I wonder why they're putting him out here, and if he's injured and a question mark, you never let injured guys talk to the media, right? So it seemed odd to me. He told us that he planned on playing as much as he could last night, kind of safely. He planned on playing more minutes than that. I don't think he went out there just to show up for the fellas and cheerlead and, you know, pop a few shifts over the boards and maybe snipe one. I think he planned on being a bigger part of it and wasn't able to. Clearly, he tweaked something. He was upfront about the fact that something had been tweaked, that he's been dealing with something, and we don't know what his status will be moving forward. But to your original point, Mike Johnson and I were just talking about this in our SportsCenter hits. I think we both and lots of people would be surprised if we saw him again in this series.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think we are. And I brought it up, the comparison. It wasn't a great comparison, but Kevin Durant last year in the playoffs against the Raptors, like just trying to give something a go, and then obviously he gets injured and we don't see him again. We had a debate and kind of, it wasn't even a disagreement, but earlier in the last segment talking about the league having back-to-back games in the finals. I know they want to get it done. I know they've done a fantastic job in the bubble. Have you talked to anybody there that, you know, I don't know, has a problem with it or that obviously concerns just based on the workload and how many games these teams have played?
Yeah. So, you know, Rick Bonus was asked about it today. You know, they're just not going to complain. You know, they're not going to take the opportunity to complain at all. I think we all know that it doesn't make sense from a hockey standpoint. There's no reason to have them do this when it comes to hockey. It just diminishes the products. It tires the guys out. You get greater risk. The guys won't be able to play. It doesn't make sense. But all along, you guys, the decisions have been guided. I think as much about hockey, it's been about dollars and cents and about getting this thing over with in a timely fashion. Every day they keep this bubble open, money bleeds off the bottom line, and I think they've made decisions based on that all the way through. And so we've got, and I think, you know, they like to hit their Saturday nights, and I think we end up in a back-to-back scenario that under no other circumstances, I think, would they do something like this. And part of their justification will be that the teams aren't having to travel. But I think still, with the way this series is being played, to go back-to-back nights, it'll be interesting to see what the third period looks like of the second game.
With Ryan Rashog, who's out in Edmonton covering the Cup Final, it could be over by Saturday night, and then I guess we turn the page on 19-20, thankfully. You know, I think everyone's ready to get rid of anything associated with 2020 and start moving on to next season, and it's going to be a quick turnaround into the draft and then free agency opening up on October 9th, and we're going to get into this discussion a little bit more later this afternoon, and we've had it from time to time recently, but from your standpoint, what intrigues you more, Ryan? The idea of, you know, a bunch of trades and potentially featuring significant players, or the free agents and what's going to happen with the money being spent around the NHL?
Yeah, I just want to see a bunch of hockey trades, guys. Just real hockey trades.
Right, of course. You have to.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, with free agency, it's different because you can kind of see the writing on the wall. and you have a real good sense that, look, these are the best guys that are available, and where are they going to go? And maybe it feels more this year than any other where we might see names drop that we weren't expecting. There might be more blindside-type stuff that makes it a lot more interesting. There's so much that's predictable about free agency, especially when they did that free agent talking period where we all knew what was going to happen before it happened, and it was just a matter of, you know, getting it all out in sequential order. I think there could be more blindside-type stuff, and that makes for interesting television. It gives James and O and the fellas something, you know, more to talk about. I think the trade front could be pretty interesting this year, just given teams that are going to have internal caps, teams that are, you know, going to have to maybe move guys we didn't think that they would.
Oh, it's going to be fun. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Enjoy it out there, buddy. You know, keep up the good work, and we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
You bet. I'm going to go home and have a snuggle with my cat. Just feeling bad about last night and what could have been, and just want to keep Murphy close today.
I like it.
Good for you, buddy. Good for you. Disappointed in the 401 or the highway incident not pulling over, but enjoy your afternoon. Thank you.
You too, guys. See ya.
There's Ryan Rashog. Murphy the cat. Okay.
Yeah,
there
the
go.
Grappler. Carol Baskin's grappler.
I had no idea.
Do you remember on the Seinfeld where the cat was stranded in the house and they were sending meat underneath the door?
Yes.
Remember it was the slicer?
Let me ask you guys this, and I wanted to ask the Graps this, but I don't know what he would have thought. But my wife is very protective of the cat, and she gets nervous when he's alone by himself. But I wanted to say to the Graps, like, you're more than welcome to come. Like, he's supposed to eat at 2. I wanted to say, you want to bring your laptop over and your notepad or whatever, come at noon, hang on the couch, there's sports on the TVs, and just hang with the cat. Is that an offside ask?
Well, it is, because the cat will pretend like the grappler's not there. They are the most... These animals don't care that much about humans. They really don't. Like, I'm sure maybe yours does, and it's an outlier, but the three that I lived with, they couldn't care less if I was in the room or not.
Yeah. I found that with my interactions with cats over the years. My best friend growing up had a cat forever. I'd be over at the house all the time. That cat couldn't care less about me. Couldn't pick me out of a lineup. You know, honestly, 10 years after, be like, I don't know who that guy is. Like, I'm at your house all the time. Cat never cared for me. Wasn't against me. Didn't have any issues with me.
No, it was just a nice, you know, nice
wasn't
thing,
interested
but they...
in any interactions. And cats can be a little bit, you know, dicey if they're in a bad mood or if they feel like they're really territorial. And dogs can be like that. I've been called in from the bullpen to, you know, feed a dog or walk a dog. And if it's a big dog and they don't really know you're coming.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah, you kind of tiptoe in there and you're hoping you catch them in a good mood. Like, that'd be terrifying, I think. Someone asked you, can you come over and feed my pit bull or Rottweiler or something? And
I would never
met the dog. I'd be like, I think I can, but
no way.
I don't know. Like, what's gonna happen?
I would just say no. Yeah, like you. I don't know. I mean, the grappler's a good friend, but I have to be honest. Oh, I consider you a dear friend and a good friend. I would not go and feed your cat. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like it's a big ask. It is a big ask.
It's not a big ask. He lives. Me and Grappler are basically neighbors.
I didn't know that. Like, it's not like so. The Grappler lives 5 minutes away from you, or ten minutes away.
Less.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, then
he's
right around
the corner.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd drive 40 minutes like to.
No, that's
if you
a big
really
ask.
Need it.
It's got to be a neighborhood ask. It's got to be a neighbor, or someone within range. You know, a 10-minute drive, you can pull that off. 40 minutes is pushing it for a cat feed.
Are you on the show tomorrow, aren't you?
I'm on the show.
So you'll be home at 4 o'clock.
I'll be in Collingwood tomorrow.
Okay, but that's one meal. Like, just leave out a little extra food.
But he tried telling my wife that. Thank you very much. Do you think I'm not aware of that? I don't know. Carol Baskin's grappler is helping.
Yeah, the Baskin. Okay.
Yeah,
well,
the grappler can sit there. Let him, you know, he can produce the show from your place.
He's one with the cats. Grappler grew up with cats. He's very familiar, very comfortable around cats. I think that's a good pick. It's a good choose by you. All right. Yeah. Well, we'll get an update tomorrow. You know, we'll see. We'll see what happens. Pooley's coming up in about a half an hour. And Nick Nurse at 5:30 on his new deal, on a potentially longer offseason than usual. and bubble life and all that good stuff with Nick. We're looking forward to that. That's coming up at 5:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right, Dave Poulin coming up in about 20 minutes because I believe this is surgery day for Ray. I think he's going under the knife today, so we're thinking of Ray as always. And
yeah. Gritty chicken parm.
Gritty chicken parm, yes. And
Strutty with the big run at Ray.
Yeah. I think Ray went on a show the next day, too, probably to try to defend himself. Yeah, we should look up, maybe try to find that audio. I'll bet you they ended up just chirping us.
Yeah, that
probably. What ended up happening. But that's coming up. And Nick Nurse in about 45 minutes. Jabari Greer in the NFL and the Bud Bubble, too. That's coming up into the 6 p.m. hour. We'll tell you more about that. And it looks like this Hornqvist for Matheson deal might be happening now. Pierre LeBrun tweeting out that there's some traction there. So I guess stay tuned. Yeah. But that kind of gets back into what we were talking about earlier this hour, like trades, free agency, the trade bait boards up on TSN.ca, and kind of feels like there's a lot of irons in the fire league-wide right now.
I think so. I think there's going to be – I don't know if it's going to be a record amount, but I think there's going to be a ton of movement, a ton. Like, just based, like, expansion's right around the corner. Like, this season's going to start. This next season, whether you believe it's going to be – do we all agree it's not – you don't
yeah,
think –
Yeah, January at the earliest.
Yeah, it's going to be January.
Yeah.
So let's say in January it starts – like, you've got to have your team ready for this January, but you also have to be looking ahead contract-wise, who you believe you're going to lose in expansion or protect, all of that type of stuff, because Ronnie Francis and his crew is going to be – they're lurking.
They're lurking right now. They're in the weeds.
Don't you think now more than ever? I think when we got drafted, we were just happy to play in a city. I just think guys, if they're in a situation they're not particularly fond of, it might be location, it might be the rink, it might be wherever. They just say they don't want to. They don't really want to play there, and they want to be moved. I think that happens a lot more than we played for sure. I think guys just say, actually, no thanks on this scenario. Like the Tkachuk kid, the young one in Ottawa. How long is he going to be happy playing in Ottawa? American kid, he's going to be a star player. They haven't even begun. Most kids like him, they start the contract negotiation for that next one. Not even happening. And I know Toronto did it with Mitch Marner. They said, play it out and we'll see. But how long is he going to be happy in Ottawa? Who knows?
Well, it'd be interesting to see. You mentioned Ottawa because, like, they've got a real pivotal draft here. You got 3 and 5. Like, you can get two really special players.
Yeah, you better in the top five. You better get two.
And you know, you can turn the fortunes of your team around pretty quickly if you find the right two for the fit for the organization. You talked about, you know, the Senators committing. Like, they better lock Brady Tkachuk up. They've got Shabbat locked up. You know, they've got to identify their goaltending situation, and they've got a couple of young goaltenders coming. The Gustafson kid, I think he has a chance. Hoberg has a chance to be starters. So
they
got to
spend money, though. They got to get to the floor.
Right.
I mean, that's the
obviously,
thing.
Obviously, like Bobby Ryan making 7.25, like they've got to find. They're going to have to sign Connor Brown. They are going to be able to get to the floor, but it's who you get to the floor with. Like, they need to surround these young kids with the Ron Hainsey's and the players like that to continue to help them to grow. Borowiecki's out the door. Craig Anderson, they've told, is not coming back. So they are looking to shuffle that older core around the young guys. So they've got a lot of decisions to make in Ottawa. My eye is certainly on them because I cover them, but be interesting to see what Pierre Dorion's got up his sleeve there.
Well, it just seems like a perfect opportunity for a team like Ottawa, if they were willing to spend – to pick up a bunch of mid-level free agents who are quality players where you can offer a million more a year than this other team, and you might get the guy. You know, like the top-end guys, Petrangelo, we know what that price tag's going to be. You know, within the ballpark, we know what it's going to be. Taylor Hall, we think we know. Torrey Krug, you know.
Right.
Like Jakob Markstrom, if he gets there. Like, there's the top seven or eight guys, you're like, I think I know about what they're going to get paid, what they're looking for. Maybe they don't get as much term. Maybe they don't get the details they're looking for. But they're going to go, and it's going to be a big price. And the low-end guys will go quick, too, for $700,000, $850,000, $900,000. The guys who accept who they are and what they are.
Yep.
But there's going to be a boatload of players right in the middle who think they should be making four, four and a half, but they're getting offered 2.5 on October 9th.
I know, and, but the thing is about remember what Toronto did, getting those guys in and then flipping them all at the deadline? If you overpay them, maybe that's less attractive to teams that want to take that on.
True, but I'm not
the only problem with doing that.
I'm not even saying flip them. I'm saying build your team. Like, at some point, Ottawa's got to at least try to take another step.
No kidding. Yeah.
If you bring in 4 or 5 guys who are mid-level, you might have a decent team. Like, I don't know if you're not going to be a cup contender, but you look around who's available out there. You sign, you know, just throwing out names. I'm not saying that these guys are perfect fits. But you sign Brody, you sign Howla, you sign Wayne Simmons, and you sign, you know, a goalie that's out there that's available for you, whoever that might be.
Holtby or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
And all of a sudden, you've added 3 or 4 guys, and you're like, those aren't bad players.
Well, here's the 2 crazy moves that I would do if I was Ottawa and wanted to spend money, and that can make my organization a lot more stable and build around those young guys. Then you could add bit pieces. You sign Jacob Markstrom to a 7-year deal. That's your goaltending taken care of.
Lock him
in,
yep.
Lock him in. And then you offer sheet Anthony Cirelli and see if Tampa, you know, with a crazy number, like something aggressive, like that makes Tampa go, we'll let you have it, we'll take the
What would that be, though? Is he, I don't think he's worth as much as Aho. And Aho was 8.5
over 5.
No, he's
not getting 8. Are you? That's
exactly
not even close.
So then what is going to possibly make Tampa think? Like, Sorelli's really good. He's really good. He's going
to
be
asking for
good
money. You think
Sorelli
has a chance to be – I think he's got a chance to be a number one centerman.
What?
I think he's a 2. I don't think he's a 1. He's really good.
I think he's
really
good.
Like, really good two-way guy.
But like, think of it. He's a really good young 23-year-old centerman.
But what is that price then? What, like, that's what I'm saying, Noodles. Like, Aho is 8.5 over 5. Aho's better, puts up more points. And
right.
That Carolina.
But Aho's more offensive. Sean Couturier, what is
that's
he
what I'm
right
saying.
Now?
The production on that. I love the kid. He's a York Region kid. I love him.
Yep.
But I don't see the production ever being at a first line or a second line rate.
I don't see a point per game. I think second line, if you're a 50-point guy and you're a great, well-rounded guy, you can. There's some second line centers that perform at that level.
I think he has a chance to be a little bit more than that, personally. But then maybe I'm overvaluing.
No, I don't think you're alone in that. I think you'd get a split vote, maybe leaning more towards where Owen and I are at. But I don't think you're one of 100 that would think that
way.
Well,
did he not play for DJ Smith too?
They won the Memorial Cup.
So
yeah.
I mean, there's a tie there. Like I just again, I'm not. I'm
but
not
what do you
in the
throw
know.
At
I've not.
Do you throw 7 years at $6 million, $6.5 million? Does that make Tampa think?
They couldn't do that. But
you
that's
just
not...
said. You just said if you want to be aggressive, well, be aggressive for guys who have like a 23-year-old RFA. Like, don't go and throw $7 million a year at a 31-year-old because your team's not there yet. Grab somebody who is not in their wheelhouse yet, is still growing, and can grow with these young, can grow with Tkachuk and Batherson, Brännström and Shabbat, and can be in that. Yeah, you might have to overpay. That's my point, and that's kind of what you were saying. You might have to throw an extra million or two in there. Well, that's seems like the risk. Like, that would be more of a viable risk if you wanted to get crazy in Ottawa.
I don't think
it'll happen, and I'm not suggesting
it could. I mean, why shouldn't it? Like, we have this conversation every single year. Why are there not offer sheets? Why aren't they doing it? What is this? The old boys club. No one wants to bother anybody. But, you know, this is a perfect example. This is a better chance to pounce than ever before because there's no cap flexibility for any team, right? There's no flexibility. Seattle's coming. Right, like if there was, and if you're Ottawa, let's say you got to give up whatever it is, a first, a second, and a third. I don't remember exactly what the dollar amounts are for the parameters on what you give up if the offer sheet is accepted by the team or not accepted and you actually get the player. But because you have the third and the fifth pick right now, you may be more than willing to give up the pick next year, even if it is 8th overall, because you got Cirelli.
Right,
you know, if that's who you think you can get.
I was just being a bit crazy here, like speaking out of you know what I mean. Just
well, they better be thinking that way because Ottawa's they're in a tough spot for luring people in right now. Mm. Like somewhat radioactive because of the ownership and everything that's happened in the rink, and they're not a very good team. So, you better get ruthless at some point.
But that, I guess that was my point. You want to get crazy and overspend, or if you want to do something there, like do it with a purpose where you're shoring up your goaltending and you're taking a chance on somebody who has, you know, is going to be buried technically behind centermen in Tampa.
Well,
you know?
I couldn't imagine a team, and this is all pie in the sky stuff, but I couldn't imagine a team that would have a better offseason than if you signed Markstrom long-term and picked up Cirelli on an offer sheet. Like, how could you possibly have and the third and fifth overall pick in the draft?
It's a good offseason.
Right. Like, that would be – it is, but it's not as if it's impossible to believe. It technically could happen. Dave Poulin coming up in the next hour. Nick Nurse at 5:30. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app.